With all of that said, we get to go into our new series. We kick off our Easter series. We're going to be on a journey about the road to the cross, because on the road to the cross, there is so much good news of Jesus. There's so much good news of what Jesus has for our lives, for your neighbor's life, and for our community's life, not only then, but even now, still today. And so as we make our way to the cross, as we make our way to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we're going to go on a bit of a journey together. I know you're going to say, well, Pastor, your sermon should be next week, but this week we're going to talk about Jesus' triumphant entry into the city. 1 week ahead of Palm Sunday, because we need to do a few others along that journey. But we're going to start with the road to the cross, realizing that there's good news for you, there's good news for me, and there's good news for those who don't even know him yet. So this morning we start off with the truth. If you see behind me, as we go to the road to the cross, the title of our message is this: if God can use, or if he can use a donkey, imagine what he can do with you and me. And so in that journey, I want to ask you this question. It's March break, or the end of March break, and who knows if it's going to be extended without buses, who knows? But on the March break, a lot of times people go on road trips. Our family, we were supposed to go on a longer road trip, but we didn't. But we snuck away for a few days, and we went and watched a little bit of March Madness in Buffalo. And while we were on our way, if you've ever been driving along, there becomes family games in the car. Ever have some of those? You kind of get bored, and you're trying to kill time. And one of the things that we were doing as we were driving along, and I think it was actually Liam, our youngest, who made this comment, he loves cars. He likes looking at cars. He likes looking at all the fancy cars. The closer we get to Toronto and beyond, he's like, Dad, the cars get fancier. And so it became kind of the question or the thought that was, if you could have any car, if money wasn't an option, what would it be? And for some, I don't know what it is. You can probably tell your neighbor and say, this is what it would be. But for him, it would be a sports car, probably a shiny, bright-colored one. He does like Mustangs. For me, on those questions, as it was asked, mine would be either a brand-new truck or a big SUV. This is the way things change, you know? And it would have been helpful in all those times, something that can pull a boat, something that can get through snowdrifts, all of the above. I think it was maybe one of those moments. But isn't it interesting that each one of us would answer that question a little bit different? Some would want the sports car, some would want the fuel economy, some would want electric cars, other would be like, give me the old Hummer. Any of those different things. But the question then came to me when I was thinking about this message: if you were a king and you were sending the message to everyone around you, you were coming with a triumphant message that the king is here, the king is entering the scene, the one who is above all, what kind of ride would you come in on? Would you come riding in a K car or a Chevette? Or would you want, you know, the full decked out Escalade coming in? What kind of ride would be fitting of a king? And this morning we're going to look at, I believe, Jesus' unlikely choice. What many of us would think would not be the first pick becomes Jesus' first pick. And as we look at his choice of the ride, which was a donkey or a young colt, which didn't seem very fitting for a king, I believe there's some lessons that we can learn not only about Jesus this morning, but there's some lessons that we can learn about our own lives and how he sees us, how he calls us, and the purpose that he has for you and for me based on his ride into the city all those years ago. So if you wouldn't mind, we're going to go together to Luke 19, starting at verse 28 to 38, and read a little bit about the king as he comes into the city, the triumphant entry marking the road to the cross that we now know, as he rides not in on a fancy war horse, but instead rides in on a young, unridden colt. And this is what it said. After telling this story, Jesus went on towards Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As he came to the town of Bethphage and Bethany and on the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead. Go into that village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. if anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, why are you untying that colt? And the disciples simply replied, the Lord needs it. So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. As he rode along, the crowd spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Verse 38, blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven. So let's think about this for a second. There's so much to unpack in this. We don't have time this morning. But in that moment, we see Jesus goes to his disciples and he gives them a task that requires faith and obedience. Many times we just overshadow this part, but can you imagine you're one of the disciples, you're now getting sent off, and Jesus said, hey, go over there, trust me, there's going to be a donkey, he's going to be tied up. I haven't talked to the owners yet, but you're going to actually borrow the donkey without asking. Start untying it, and when they come out, because they're going to come out, they might even be a little bit angry, you're just going to tell them Jesus needs it, and they're going to be okay with that. If all of a sudden I wanted a fancy new F-150, and I saw one in the parking lot, and I said, you know what, Scott, could you do me a favor? Could you just go over there? There's going to be one parked over there. There might not be keys, but you can untie it. And then you bring it back, and when the owners come out, just say, you know what, Curtis needs it. So there's a little bit of faith, there's a little bit of obedience, there's a little bit of risk involved, even in the disciples. They have to trust him, and they go. And they untie this donkey, and I'm sure along the ways, as we're going to see, it seemed like our first truth this morning, Jesus' unlikely pick. Because I'm sure they were talking amongst themselves, even though they've been with Jesus, and saying, really? A colt? An unridden colt? How many knows that sometimes donkeys can be stubborn? An untrained donkey isn't really the easiest thing to pull along, to untie, to throw something on. Along the lines, there's some risk that there's going to be some bucking happening. There's going to be some stubbornness saying, I don't want to go. And they're probably thinking, if nobody has rode this, Jesus, you're going to climb upon this on your entrance down into the city. What happens if the donkey says, no? It wouldn't seem like the most likely of pick. It wouldn't seem like the first draft pick of a king coming in. Most would not have expected a stubborn, nameless, untrained, and unridden, and inexperienced donkey to be the ride for the king. Many in those days, even those, the crowds that were waiting for the coming king, the Messiah who would come, many wanted them to come in on a war horse. Because when they would ride in those days, when a king would ride in on a war horse, it would mean that they were coming to conquer, that it was a moment of conquest. And so those who had been waiting for the coming king, the triumphant entry, the long-awaited prophecy untold and fulfilled in those moments, they were expecting that this person, this king, would come and overthrow the Roman rule. They were waiting for this new kingdom to come, this new rule and reign that would come, that their oppressors would be cast away. But it wasn't on a fancy war horse. But instead, what did Jesus ride in on? Donkey. Because the donkey was what Jesus desired and what he required. Because he was coming to fulfill the prophecy that we see in Zechariah 9:9. Let me read it to you. It said, rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on what? Riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's colt. He was the unexpected king. not coming in with the war horse, but instead riding in on a donkey. And what that would symbolize is kings in those days would ride in sometimes on donkeys, but that was in a season of peace. It was them saying they're coming in humility, they're coming for blessing, they're coming for a peacetime. And that wasn't what everyone expected, but he was declaring through his ride. He was declaring that not only was he the fulfillment of Zechariah, but he was also declaring what his kingdom rule and reign would look like. That he would come in humility, he would come with peace, he would come to bless, that he truly was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he was the Prince of Peace. He wasn't coming to make war with the Romans, he was coming to make war with sin. A war that he had already won and was going to win at the cross and show. He was pushing that away, but he was coming and saying, I am already victorious. I don't need to ride the white horse because I know who I am and whose I am. And I know that in just a short time, I will declare those words, it is finished. But then it comes to this moment. Jesus picks this donkey as we kind of rewind. He picks this unlikely pick and he takes something seemingly ordinary or underqualified, a little bit stubborn, and he chooses it and sets it apart for a holy purpose. Stubborn, untrained, unqualified, often overlooked, not even on the path to the journey. And he sets it aside for a holy purpose and says, I've chosen it. Go and get that one, because there's something and a role and a purpose that only that donkey can fulfill. I don't know about you, but this is one time I'm okay to say I'm a little bit like a donkey. Because you and I may be his unlikely pick. That we might be a little bit stubborn. We might look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I'm not qualified, I'm untrained, I'm inexperienced. I have all these things, I'm forgotten, I've been overlooked. But I want to tell you today that he wants to set us aside for a holy purpose. He wants to call you and me. And there's some lessons that we can learn from the donkey this morning. You and I might be the most unlikely of picks, but I want to tell you today that God is seeing you, God is choosing you, and God is calling you. Today, you might even be fighting, saying, no, I don't want to go. But I want to tell you this, he is calling you. You may feel forgotten, you may feel overlooked, but I want to tell you this, you are not. In those moments where you feel forgotten, you are not forgotten by God, and you are not out of his mind or his plans. The donkey was tied up and not along the journey. He had to send the disciples to go and get them. He had to send the disciples to go and untie that donkey. Today in that journey, God wants to pick you. God wants to choose you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. You may feel like you are out of his mind, out of his view, but even this morning through the message that we received from God, it was he knows you. He sees you. For someone this morning, you need to grab truth. You need to grab hold of that truth and take it deep into your heart. Let it resonate in your spirit that today you are not forgotten by God. You may feel like you are not his likely pick, but I want to tell you today that he is choosing you. He is calling you, and you have a purpose on your life. It's something we can hold to. He loves to qualify those that others have disqualified. Think of the disciples. Think of David, even think of Jesus. Many would have not expected that Jesus, one who would come out of Nazareth, would be used to do great and mighty things, that the Son of God would be born there. In these moments, we realize those truths that many overlooked and they thought nothing good can come out of Nazareth, but the Son of God did. In your life, maybe someone has said that over your life, but I want to tell you today that God loves to choose the unlikeliest of picks. He wants to choose and use you. You may feel like you don't have the credentials to do it, the experience or the upbringing to be used by God, but that doesn't prevent God from choosing you. There is a purpose and a role that only you can do in the kingdom. Let that sink in for a second. Ephesians 4 reminds us of that truth, that each of us play a role, big, small, or otherwise. They're an important role. There is a role and a purpose that only you can accomplish for the kingdom of God, because God has made you, God has anointed you, God has called you, He has picked you for such a time as this. So we need to let that truth resonate within us. Don't let areas of where we feel insignificant hold us back. Don't let labels of the past weigh you down. Don't start believing those. Instead, allow Him and His choice and His calling on your life to give you significance. Because when the King chooses and rests upon you, it changes everything. That's the good news of the gospel. That while we were lost, while we were broken, while we were dead in our sin, He came and He met us and He chose us. He calls us by name and He gives us His Spirit up in us and upon us so that we can actually walk into the fullness of what He's called us to do. So don't walk in the old identity, but instead walk in who He's called you to be. He's picked you. He's chosen you. He's called you. So what's He purposed us to do? He's picked you to carry His presence, His good news, and represent what His kingdom looks like. I think that's a pretty good call. That when people see you, when people see we are the King's ride, you may be a donkey, you may be a Rolls Royce, you can choose. But in that journey, He's picked you, He's picked me to carry His presence, to carry the good news, and how we live our lives to display the kingdom, His kingdom rule and reign now and coming. That's the responsibility that's on you and me, but there's a truth that needs to be undone a little bit. That if He's chosen you and He's picked you and He's called you, even if you're an unlikely pick, there's still something that we have to learn about, and that is about getting untied. Because if we look back to verse 30 and 31, this is what it said. You will find a colt and he is tied there. Untie it. So he said, go into the village over there, he told them. As you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. What are we to do? Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks, why are you untying that colt? Just say, the Lord needs it. Before the donkey could carry Jesus, it had to do what? Had to be untied. It had to had potential. It had everything it needed right there in that moment, but it was tied. It was tied to the hitching post. My question is, how many of us have been called? How many of us have been chosen? How many of us have godly potential in our lives, have a purpose in our lives, believe that God wants to use us, but we've tied ourselves up to the hitching post? We're tied to the past, we're tied to our hurts, we're tied to offense, we're tied to shame, we're tied to something. But God is saying, if you want to actually walk into what He's calling us to, you and I have to get off the hitching post. We need to become and make ourselves available for what He is calling us to step into. If we're going to carry His presence, if we're going to carry His mission, if we're going to carry His Spirit with us into the community, you and I have to get untied from that which binds us. The potential's there. The calling's there. The purpose is there. The power of God's there. He's already set us free, because what the Son sets free is free indeed. But many of us have gone back to the hitching post and tied ourselves up. Ever realize you were maybe tied to the hitching post? Maybe even this morning as we're talking, the Holy Spirit's reminding you of a few things. We have to get off the hitching post, because you can't carry the King if you stay tied to the post. That donkey would have missed it. It would not have had that moment. It would not have been able to fulfill what it was placed there to do. Jesus said, go and get to the disciples, go and get that donkey. The donkey's right there. It's tied up. And He says, untie it. Bring it here. God wants to use your life and He wants to use my life, but how many times have we tied ourselves to things that are not of Him and tied ourselves to the wrong things, and because of it, we've not been able to carry Him where He's desired to go? How many times were we supposed to minister to our neighbors, to our friends, to our colleagues, to our classmates, but along that journey we've been so tied up in sin, so tied up in our mess, so tied up in fear and guilt and shame that God is saying, I just want to use you. If you would just step out, I will be the one who comes upon you. I will be the one who strengthens you. I will be the one who tells you the plans, the purposes, and where to go. But we sit there in our fear and say, I just can't go. I'm just tied up. You and I need to get tied, get free from the ties that bind. So what are some ties that bind? I've listed a few, but let's look at a few more. Fear, guilt, shame, striving, worry, addictions, wrong priorities or beliefs, and finally, sin. These are things we have to get untied from. That's why Jesus came. He was even showing us a little bit of a foreshadowing. He came on the cross so we could break the curse of sin and death. That by what he did on the cross today, if we would call out on him, we can walk in freedom. We can walk in new life. But you and I have to make sure that we don't derail his plans and his purpose for our lives by reattaching. Because how many know that sometimes he set us free from stuff, but we have a tendency and a propensity to say, I'm free, but let me go back. Am I just alone on that? You know what you're not supposed to do, but you're like, but it's just so tempting. Even Paul himself in Romans 7 reminds us of that truth. I know what I should do, but I don't. I know what I should think, but I don't. In our lives, as we make the journey towards the cross and we make the journey to the empty tomb, let's start this season off by saying, I want to get untied from the things that bind me because I want to walk in the fullness for what God has for my life, for our church's life, for our family's life, for our city's life, because on your life is a calling and a purpose, but it will be derailed, it will be hindered by the things that we ensnare ourselves to. It's a topic a lot of people don't like to talk about. It's called sin. It's that which snares us, that which binds us, that which holds us back. We need to sit there and say, I no longer want to walk in the old self, but instead I want to walk in the freedom that Jesus has made a way for. I'm going to walk into the life and walk into the freedom that he has made a way. Because God loves you and he loves me so much that he meets us where we're at. But he doesn't leave you there. He wants us untied so we can carry his presence to the crowds that are waiting to experience him. And today, maybe you're like, well, I'm unhitched, I'm untied. But there's still a role for you. Because even if you're doing well, even if you're doing good, in that moment, the question becomes, will you be like the disciples? Will you be like the disciples who probably were a little bit scared? Probably a little bit nervous and had to be faithfully obedient and walk in a little bit of risk as they made their journey saying, I believe it's going to be a donkey there because I've heard him say to the wind, stop. I've heard him say to the waves, be still. And it was. So I believe there's probably going to be a donkey there. But as they make the journey, as they're coming around the bend and they see the donkey there, they still have to make the choice, don't they? We sort of think it's real easy. But just imagine, you're walking over. Jesus said, untie it. I wonder if the owner's big or small. I wonder if they're watching. Start untying it. Go faster, come on. They start doing that all of a sudden. Excuse me, what are you doing? It's not your donkey. And the donkey probably being a little bit stubborn, it's like, yeah, and you know, bucking a little bit. It's like, come on, be quiet in this moment. Now you have the moment where all of a sudden it says, pardon me, what are you doing? Jesus needs it. That's what he told me to say. Does it work? Live this out. Don't read it like it's a fairy tale. This is a historical event. This is truth. Imagine you were in that account. There was a moment of risk. There was a moment of stepping out, of believing and obedience and faithfulness, of saying, I trust his words. I trust that he is true, that he is faithful and good. And I know that he's got my back even when I'm scared. And so I'm going to step out of my comfort zone. I'm going to risk it in this moment with obedience and saying, I'm going to untie it because others need to see this truth. Others need to see the king coming in on the donkey. And if Jesus says, and he says to follow him, I'm going to follow him. In your life, there's people around you that are tied up. They're stuck on the hitching post. It's scary sometimes to walk with others and say, you know what, God's setting you free. Let me help. Let me get a little bit dirty and walk with you. Let me get my hands and my feet a little bit dirty as I show the love of Christ and walk through your journey of addiction. Walk through your struggle and say, you're not alone. I'm going to help you get untied because I know there's freedom for your life. In our church, it's what he's calling us to do. He's calling us to be people who step out, that we realize we have been set free by the Son. And now we want others to see and experience that same kind of freedom and truth. That's the reason of the good news, amen? That we've been set free to help others walk in the freedom that we so freely receive. God has made a way for us, and we want others to experience that same freedom and truth. That's a part of, will we step out? Will we lean in? Will we get past the what-if moments? What if they don't like what I have to say? What if they make fun of me? What if it doesn't go right? What if I don't have the right words to say? What if I don't know what to do in those moments? Say, God, I trust you. You've asked me to step out, I'll go. So how can we get untied? What are some practical things to help us get untied this morning if you're tied up or helping others get untied? First one is this, be willing to be available. Don't be stubborn. And in this moment, realize that you and I can't get off the post ourselves. We need God's help. We need to lean in those moments and ask Holy Spirit and say, help me. Show me what you're doing. I trust your timing, but begin to untie my life. If there's things I'm tied to, begin to work in my life. I'm available to be used by you. Do in my life what only you can. Number two, ask Holy Spirit to identify and define what you are tied to. All of us have something we're tied to. We're not there yet. We're on the progressive journey of becoming more like Jesus Christ. And in that journey, help him to show us and say, Holy Spirit, show me. Convict me of the areas that are still in my life that I need to deal with, that are holding me back from walking in the freedom that you've called me to. Identify it, acknowledge it, and ask for his help to start dealing with it. Number three, guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says this, the condition of your heart will determine where you go. Guard what you see, what you hear, what you believe, and surround yourself with people who see potential and calling on your life and speak that into it. Some of us wonder why we keep getting tied back up to the hitching post, but then we don't look at what we see, what we watch, what we hear, who we surround ourselves with. What you put in will eventually be what you put out. Guard your heart, because from it, life, beliefs flow. Last one, declare truth over your life. We have to believe the truth that in those moments, because some of the things that we're tied to, we've been tied to for a long time, and they're big, they're scary. Some of us have been battling them for decades. But instead of believing the truth that the one which binds you is greater than the one who sets us free, believe that the one who said it is finished is bigger than everything that we're tied to. We have to start believing, knowing the Word of God and declaring the Word of God over our lives that, yes, I may be walking through what seems like hell, but my God is victorious and that is not my destination. Walk through with the belief and begin to declare Scripture over your life. I love what a pastor, his name Craig Rochelle, says, our plans may change, but God's purpose never fails. God has a purpose for your life. You may be walking through the valleys or walking through the mountain season, but his purpose is not changing over your life. Line up with his word, line up with what he says, because it will come to pass. We come to our final truth this morning. And that final truth is purpose walked out. So we kind of look back to the ride, having a little bit of fun, leaning into lessons learned from a donkey. And so the first one, we realize that Jesus is unlikely pick, and just like that donkey, you and I can maybe be that unlikely pick. We realize the importance of getting untied. We realize that there is a purpose, that there was a purpose for that donkey. It was there for such a time as this. But that donkey had to walk out his purpose. You and I have to walk out the purpose that God has for our lives. It is a choice, church. We can't just say, well, yeah, God's called me, God used me, God set me free, God loves me, He died for me. He has called us with a purpose, even if it is to just make disciples who make disciples. That is a purpose statement over our lives. But you and I have to choose this morning, will we walk out what He has declared over our lives, or we would just sit like a bump on a log in a church service? Because church, we were called to be in motion. We were called to be actually on mission. In that choice, we have to choose today, this Easter season, will I get up and will I walk in what God has asked me to do? Will I walk out what He's asked? The donkey was the tool and the vehicle to usher in and reveal who Jesus was, so that everyone else could receive that understanding and that Jesus could receive the glory He so deserved. You and I have that same mission. We are actually called because the donkey's primary purpose was to carry Jesus and reveal who He is. What's our purpose? To reveal Jesus to the world. That when people see you, they should see Jesus. Because when they see Jesus, they see the Father. In those moments, how you live, how you talk, how you love, how you respond to the person who took all that snow and blew it into your driveway after you just spent 4 hours unblowing that. How you respond to them is what they see about Jesus. Just like when they saw Jesus riding in on that donkey, a donkey that should have been stubborn, should have been bucking, now was under the leadership of the one who had made him. Think about that for a second. It didn't say that the donkey bucked. It didn't say the donkey stopped. The donkey calmly walked, an untrained, unprepared donkey calmly rides in, not just with garments upon it, but with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Prince of Peace as He ushers in as the King. Because that donkey, even though it felt unprepared, untrained, and unridden and unready, was set aside for a holy purpose. In our lives, you and I have a holy purpose, and it might be the smallest things. You might say, well, I don't know what that looks like. Well, today, it looks as simple as this, displaying who Jesus is and what His kingdom will look like. How you talk, how you love, how you treat one another, how we treat each other inside of our church and outside of our church. It gives a picture of what His kingdom looks like now and His rule and reign will look like now and coming. That's the purpose. That's the calling, church. It's not about carrying a 100-pound Bible. It's about pointing people to Jesus, pointing people to what His kingdom is looking like now and is going to look like. He invites us into that journey. He invites us to be carriers of His presence and demonstration of His kingdom to our crowd, to our families, to our cities, to our communities, that when we usher in, as we walk in and we carry Him where He's asked us to carry, others around us would say, I don't know what is about them, but there's something different, and we can say, it's the one who I'm carrying. It's Jesus Christ. That's your purpose. The choice becomes, are we going to carry it out? Because you and I have to choose, who are we carrying? Are we carrying the things of the old, or are we carrying Jesus? That's what we have to ponder today. What am I carrying with me here in our church? What or who am I carrying with me when I leave these doors? Do people see Jesus in you, through you, and around you? That's what we're called to do. And you might say, well, I don't have all the plans. I don't know what it's all about. But the truth is, the donkey didn't know the whole plan. The donkey was just along for the ride. On those journeys, most of us want to know what's going to look like tomorrow. Guess what? Faithfully carry them. Well, I don't know what it's going to look like in 2 weeks or 3 months or 4 years' time. When He doesn't tell you, just trust Him, go along for the journey and say, I'm going to faithfully carry the one who died for me. I'm going to carry His presence. I'm going to display who He is. I'm going to display His kingdom in everything that I do. God, I'm going to obediently trust You and faithfully trust You even when I don't know the final picture. That's hard. But today, that's what He's asking of us. It's not about how impressive we are. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't even have to be flashy. Because we're not called to be impressive. We're called to be faithful to the purpose of God that he has given us and to carry Jesus where he wants to go. So today, if you don't feel flashy, you don't feel educated, you don't feel enough, guess what? It's okay. Faithfully fulfill the purpose that he's placed upon you. Carry Jesus where he's asked you to take him. And if we do that, oh, it's more than enough. Because we're fulfilling what he's asked us to do. So this question I want to leave us with, and I haven't said it all day, but I want to do it now. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if God can use a donkey, imagine what he can do with me. Look to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, if God can use a donkey, imagine what he can do with you. Because church, it's one of the only times that we can say corporately that it's okay when someone calls you a donkey. Because in those moments, that's the truth. God has picked you. He has called you. He's untied you if you would so choose. And now he's giving us the choice. Will you walk it out? As we come to the road to the cross and the empty tomb, we have the choice. Will we walk it out? Will we walk it out in our cities, in our community, in our school, in our workplace, in our church? Let's display who he is. Let's boldly carry his presence. And let's boldly help others get untied and get untied ourselves so we can walk fully in what God has called us. Amen? Let's pray together, church. Would you stand with me? Lord, this morning, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you today that, you came, Jesus. That, Lord, you lived and you loved and you displayed what it meant for and called us to. Lord, we thank you today that you triumphantly entered to overthrow the powers of darkness, to overthrow sin, to show the truth of who you are and always will be, that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords and the Prince of peace. So, Lord, today we thank you that we are your unlikely called chosen picks. We thank you today that you don't overlook us or forget us, but instead you have a purpose and a plan for us in your kingdom. So, Lord, today we ask by your Spirit that you'd begin to show us in this place and online what you are calling to, you're calling us to, and then you would show us what we maybe need to get untied from today. Because there's maybe some in this place or online that even as we talk, they know that they're still tied up to offense, they're tied up to hurt, they're tied up to the old shame. But today, Lord, we say we want to get free. We want to walk in the truth of what you made a way for through the cross. That by your sacrifice, by your perfect sacrifice, we can become free, that we can be made free. So today, if there's something that we're tied to, if there's something that we're holding on to, today we say we don't want it anymore. Untie us, Lord. Set us free, because we know whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, today, by the power of your Spirit, help us to walk out your purpose. Help us as we leave here today to be a living resemblance and living demonstrations of who you are, Jesus, in your kingdom. That how we talk, how we act, how we love, and how we respond, people would see Jesus in us. Lord, let it be said of our church and let it be said of us that we point people to you. We love you, Lord. Let us always remember, if you can use a donkey, imagine what you can do in us and through us and around us. Use our lives this week as we go. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. And we said together, church, amen, amen and amen.